All right, guys, welcome to another episode. I hate it when I do this. I always sound super fucking cheesy. Another episode. I got Robert Glover here with me.
Yeah.
It's got a beautiful red flannel on. Looking stunning. What's up, dude? How are we doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm stressed out beyond all fucking belief, but
we got the microphone figured out, so that's good.
We sat here for about 10 minutes while I tried to figure out the microphone because it wasn't working. I'm not gonna tell you what was wrong because it was difficult. The mute button was on and I just thought it was everything else, but so I apologize for the awkward silence.
It's always a good time. Gave me time to play with Zeus, you know.
Yeah, playing with a dog. We have to take his collar off because you just hear it tingling in the thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So what's up, dude? We have like a weird relationship.
Yeah. We've met, never really hung out, but...
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
But we're super cool and loving to each other.
Yes.
Which is why I wanted to do this with you.
Hell yeah.
You strike me as like a fucking a lover, you know? Like,
it's in the name, man. You know? It's in the name. G lover. So
where did you grow up? I don't know. I don't really know anything about you.
Well, I was born in Kanab, Utah, which is very southern Utah, right outside of Page, about an hour. I was born there. I only lived there for about 6 years, and then we moved here, and my dad had a job at Gore, and that's why we moved out here. And then after that, I've lived here ever since. I haven't lived anywhere else. I haven't like gone to Phoenix and tried it or anything else. I've just been here for the last 30 years or something like that. So basically a native, you know.
Do you love it?
It's all right. It's not bad. I mean, it is hometown, so.
I love Flagstaff. I did a lot of geographical changes, and I like Flagstaff.
Yeah.
It's a little expensive, but, you know.
It's a lot expensive. I never thought I was going to be able to do it, honestly, but getting out there and once I got into the job world, it was more, I never really thought about getting like an apartment or a house or anything like that. Those were always semi-easy to come by. They weren't great. They were kind of trap houses, but, you know, it worked for me at the time. And, yeah, it is expensive, though. That's one thing I don't like about it. Because even if it was expensive, like, there's got to be more jobs out there that at least help you.
That's one of the things that sucks about Flagstaff. There's not good jobs coming up. Like, all the good jobs are taken, and nobody's leaving those positions.
For years, decades, and shit. Yeah.
But hey, McDonald's is hiring, you know?
It just went up to $15 an hour, so...
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. So, grew up in Flagstaff, dude. Like, tell me about that. What was that like?
Well, honestly, it was pretty cool, because it was a whole different town back then.
Yeah.
Many, many years ago, we didn't have to hike both ways uphill, or it didn't seem like it.
No, it was really cool. I remember me and, you know, just neighborhood friends, always big skateboarders and, you know, BMX bikers and stuff like that. We were more into the skateboarding than BMXing, but the bikes would get us to where we needed to go skate. So, just doing that, I mean, you grow up, you get to know people. It's that small town feel. So a lot of people know you or your family or something thereof. And that's always fun and or bad when you get in trouble. But it all started out like as, you know, just fun, stupid skateboarding kid stuff. You know, just running amok out there and doing dumb shit, you know. Late nights and just tons of skateboarding. So that was really fun. All the cool places are gone. McGaw's newsstand is has long since been gone, but that was one of my favorite places.
I don't even know what that is.
It was, now it's on the corner of Aspen and San Francisco, but it used to be that little corner shop that's now some outfitter place that's like Patagonia and all that other stuff, like not Mountain Sports.
Oh, you're talking, okay. Downtown. I was thinking the corner of Butler and San Francisco for some reason.
No, because they had a Magaz smoke and bottle there, which was also pretty cool. But Magaz newsstand was just this awesome little, like, you went in and it had, you know, the cigars and all that other stuff. And then books and popcorn was always going. Free popcorn, but it was, like, really good popcorn. And they had those little glass cases and the little kettle in there. But every time we'd walk in there, it was just, you know, candy. There was magazines and comics and everything. Magazines.
Those are going extinct, dude.
I know. It's sad. Because I still have, like, boxes and boxes full of, like, tattoo magazines and skateboard magazines and all that stuff. But other than that, I mean, it was a really cool town to grow up in. You know, parents are like parents were. Come home when the lights come on or get a hold of us somehow. And
yeah, so that's something that our kids will never experience.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't have a cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to get a hold of you. And, you know, your pay phones and things, and you had to do that 1-800 collect. Like, mama over here, you got to come pick me up. And then hang up before they get charges or anything. But yeah, I mean, it was fun, man. It was really fun. And, you know, you grow up, you're smoking weed and drinking a little bit and having fun. And then all of a sudden that all turns into a necessity, I guess.
A necessity. It takes over your life.
Yes.
It did for me, at least.
Yeah, and it really takes over. And then all of a sudden all kinds of other dumb shit comes in.
Yeah. Can I be honest about something?
Yeah.
Not being able to smoke weed is the most depressing part about sobriety.
This is true, especially now that it's like recreational and everything. Dude. Like, it's so available.
Dude, my buddy sends me videos of just him putting gummies in teachers, screwing a cap on, and there's just thousands of them. Yeah. And like, god damn it.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I know where it takes me.
Exactly. Well, and then, you know, I know some people that they'll never know what it's like to have to go through.
Yeah.
The stupid crap that we had to go through.
You know,
for most of that stuff. I mean, until they start doing hard drugs, which you really hope they don't do, because you see where it gets you. But I don't know. I think through all of those trials and tribulations and everything, that's where it got me and who I am today, I guess. So, I mean, I wasn't proud of who I was by any means, but I can be proud of who I am now. And that's saying something, I guess.
Yeah. So. A lot of people are not proud of themselves and they don't have this.
That's true.
They don't have this problem.
This is true. This is very true.
So, I mean, we don't have to get into it if you don't want to.
Let's get in.
But if you want to
slide all in.
All the way in. I got about 3 inches total, so we'll go as far as I can.
Safe space.
Yeah, safe space. No, I'm sorry if I'm assuming here, but for the most part, you were just an alcoholic that was never. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's. Okay. Yeah, whatever. I'm
this
down.
This is going on the internet.
It is.
Yeah.
Let's let him know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, alcohol is my main problem. I have had very intense, loving relationships with drugs as well. Loved weed. That never caused me to go into, you know, stealing, thieving, and doing dirty shit for. But I know if I was to go out there again and do it, that it would lead to that. Meth is also a very large one for me. Uppers. I was an upper user, and for a long time, at first it was, you know, cocaine and. It's all fun and games until it's not fun and games anymore. meth was just a cheaper, I felt better alternative to cocaine.
Okay, yeah.
It's Well, and it's that redneck cocaine, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And keeps you higher longer. And that feeling that you're always chasing every 15 minutes with, you know, cocaine was like there with meth. And so I really liked that. Actually, when I started meth, I had pretty much quit drinking and everything else and just focused solely on that. And was with a bunch of not great people. I was a driver for a lot of things because I was like the only one that had a car. And so I'd drive them around and we'd, you know, hit Sedona and we'd hit everywhere else and break into cars. And, you know, that was our main gig and our missions as it was handed down to us by one of the kids' dads or something like that. He would send us on missions and we'd go and just break into a whole bunch of shit, bring it back. And that's how we got paid, was in meth or whatever.
Yeah. So
it was fun. But yes, every time, I haven't done meth since, 2008, which has been awesome, but I have gone back to drinking and drinking and drinking and all that other shit. So that's where it really starts to spin.
I don't think there was ever like a point for me where I was not, doing anything and everything I could get my hands on, you know? Like, I get some free meth, and I would wake up in the morning, do some black, get some pills to get the withdrawals go away, and then I'd do some meth, that way I could work all day, and then I'd come home, and I'd be too high to sleep, so I'd drink till I fell asleep, you know?
Yeah.
It was just fucking miserable.
Yeah, and I never, I did heroin once, and was never really into it. I got out of a drug class with a good old buddy of mine from high school because we were in the same class. It was like IOP or something like that. And he had to go back to the jail. So the time that I did heroin, I mean, aside from numerous and sundry pills that I've popped, I took him over to the Taco Bell on Butler and he was like, "Hey, you want to try this?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. Why not?" He's like, "I got to go back to jail because he's on furlough. But that's the only way you can sleep in there." And so he starts doing it. And I was like, "All right, cool. You know, I'm not one to turn something down in IOP class." You know, like we just freshly got out. I had my mom's van. And so we did it in the parking lot. I took him to the jail. I got the weird head thing going on and all that other shit. And then I had to go pick up my mom because I had her van. She worked at Dillard's at the time. And I got in the other side, or in the other seat, and she was like, "Oh, you don't want to drive home?" I was like, "No, I'm not feeling too great." So she drives home, and before we get onto our street, and before we even stopped, I had opened the door and just hit the ground running, ran into my house, threw up, and then fell asleep, like, immediately right after. Clothes on, everything, till the next morning, and I was like, "Holy shit, did not like that." It felt like I was like wasting it, you know. I felt guilty for taking it, really, because it just wasn't. I was like, "Holy shit, that was horrible." And he could have used that, you know, whatever. But you know,
I wasted his drugs, man. I wish I had friends that thought like that, dude.
You know, and I've always been a very giving person, I guess. So, but yeah, with meth, it was always like, take, and mine, and I had some friends that would give me, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I had one girl who liked me that, you know, we never hooked up, she had a boyfriend, all that other stuff. She was cool to be around, like, I liked hanging out with her and stuff, but she knew the connect, and so would always give me, like, bags of it for free and shit like that, and it was just fun to hang out with and do a lot of drugs with, so, yeah. And then after that, it was back to the alcohol. You know, I did the sober thing on my own for about 3 years, 3.5 years, and then got a job at a place that sold beer, and it was a great job. It was at Satchmo's, and that's where I met Yvonne. But soon after I got the job there, I didn't drink for a really long time there, and then I started taking little sips and, you know, swishing and spitting because I was starting to. I had to tell people about, like, "Oh, what beer's the best with this? What beer's the best with that?"
Yeah.
And you get thrown into that, and probably wasn't the best. And I was like, "Okay, well, I've got to taste these. I don't want to, you know, drink them, but I got to taste them. So I'd wash around and spit and thought I was doing the good thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, you drink a little bit and you're like, oh, no one saw, no one can tell, blah, blah, blah. And then it started full on spiral out of that. And years and years of just hard drinking. And then it was like, I always thought being an alcoholic was like, you know, you suffer from DTs every morning and all that other stuff. And I wasn't feeling that. And so it was off to the races, you know.
Yeah.
Go out and just drink everything I could get my hands on. And then all of a sudden, a couple years after, the drinking had quit working, started rifts in my relationship with Yvonne and things like that. And then the DTs started. You know, every day I'd have to wake up shaking. And,
oh, that's rough.
Oh, yeah.
Those are rough.
Those were horrible. And before she even woke up, you know, I can hear her snoring, but I've got my backpack right next to the bed. And you sneak in there and you grab a little vodka or whatever, 100 proof. Nothing else. Just straight 100 proof. Like, take a couple shots of that. And then, you know, oh, I've got to go to the bathroom because I had one stuck in the bathroom and stashed in the back room and stashed here and all that other stuff. And finally, you know, after what I want to say, much nagging, but it was all out of love. She had planted the seed. Let's say that, because she did nag me for a long time. And I know it was out of love and out of, you know, she didn't want to be with another drug addict and deadbeat low life. Which, yeah. I was slowly becoming. So also it was for myself, because shit started to hurt. I couldn't eat certain things at like a certain time of night. So I just wouldn't eat all day. Like, you know, I'd get off work or whatever pretty late. And if it was after a certain time, I just wouldn't eat because it would give me heartburn. And then I wake up and I think eventually, like nowadays after that, I've had to do the constant acid reflux pills, like the Prilosex and shit, yeah, like that. The, yeah, Nexium.
The Omniprozel or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all that shit just to keep from... Because sometimes I notice if I don't have it, like I'll go to eat and I can't swallow shit. And then like my throat feels all choked up and then I'll have to like throw it up and all that other shit. So through that, I mean, I know there's probably like something related to that or whatever. From drinking and throwing up every day.
Oh, that cheap vodka will do it to you.
Oh, yeah. That just ran its fucking course.
It's like, just like... Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you know when they say like, oh, it's going to make you blind about, you know, moonshine and stuff like that in the old movies. Because it will. It'll fucking just wreck your whole insides. And it's called rot gut for a reason. You know? So
I would just buy the like... cheapest half gallon of vodka I could and keep it in the freezer, you know.
Hell yes. Mine was always Smirnoff 100 proof, just a full pint.
Oh, rough.
Get like, man, two or three of those and knock, yeah, them out throughout the day. Still driving, still living life, you know. And it was bad.
Yeah, I would drive too. I'm not proud of it, but
no,
done it.
Done it with Yvonne's daughter in the car. And
she's going to hear this, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She already knows.
All right.
It's all right.
We won't tell her you said she was nagging. Okay?
She knows that, too.
Yeah, it's... I'm at a weird place with, like, how I feel about alcohol. I don't know if you can tell. There's bottles of wine and stuff around here. We just got married and stuff. And, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't drink. Like, I'm cool with not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are drinking around me, I just want them to get more drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I pour everybody shots. I'm like, here you go. Here you go. You
know? Oh, yeah. The party's still going.
I want to be like, yeah, part of the party. You know?
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know. I probably need to work on that. But I don't have like an urge to drink.
Well, and that's good. You know, I mean, yeah, there's always that underlying, you know, past that you kind of still want to do, because the parties were fun, the social gatherings were fun. And I don't hate on anybody that, you know, drinks or anything like that. I just know I can't do it because it tosses me into a real bad spot. I've got, you know, 2 DUIs. I've had my license suspended countless times, two of those were before I even drank and drove, because I was a teen with a really fast car. There's that.
What kind of car did you have?
So my first car I bought was a 1991 Honda CRX.
Nice.
And dude, it was already, I saw it in like an Auto Trader or something like that. Yeah, those little Auto Trader books. And
that's like a tuner classic, bro.
Oh yeah, it was bad, and it was tuned up. Badass. It had a B16 in it. It was all like blueprinted. It had the rims on it. All it was when I bought it was two racing seats and a shifter. It had no, so it was a race car. The guy got it up to be the second fastest Honda in Arizona.
Nice.
He took off the turbo and the NOS, but the rest of it was still there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I couldn't roll down windows. Like, it had, all it had was, like, the little thing that stuck out, so the window rollers weren't down. No working windshield wipers. I had turn signals, brakes. Like, it was gutted inside.
Yeah.
And fuck, nothing. Like, no carpet left, no nothing. The door panels were, like, God, they weren't even really there.
Stripped.
Yeah, it was stripped down. Like, it was light. It was fast. Tuned. It had a beautiful JDM body kit on it. I got in some fender benders with it and ended up getting it to a really awesome spot where it had, like, all the cool, really nice, like, JDM body kit to it that wasn't, like, overly loud. It was just, oh, it was so clean, and it had this blue pearlescent paint on it and like the M3 fenders with like the gills in it or whatever.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was such a nice car. It was lowered. Had really nice Koenig rims on it. They were like 18s. Or no, they were probably about 17s or something like that. But super clean. I got some luxuries eventually. Like, bought in and got, you know, the CD player and a system in it that my mom bought me because I graduated high school. But yeah, that was my first one, and I'd zip around in that thing, go to races. We'd meet at Sonic and then go out to the snowball real late at night and just fucking haul ass, a bunch of us, and race each other. So much fun.
The first car I ever bought, the first one I bought, my first car was given to me. It was a 91 Oldsmobile Cutlass.
Yes.
Fuck it.
Yes. Class.
It was sweet, dude. But it was
land yacht.
Yeah. But the first one I ever bought was a 2001 Honda Civic LX, the 2-door coupe, 5-speed.
Yes.
That thing was badass.
So much fun.
Probably my favorite car I've ever owned. And, like, it had some cracks in the exhaust manifold and stuff, and we just threw some welds on there, you know, and
yeah,
it's good to go, dude.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And then I got pulled over down in Tucson, and it got impounded, and I never paid to get it out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I regret that.
Well, and mine got stolen by my mechanic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he ended up going down for meth charges, distributing, manufacturing. And he was the guy that did like a bunch of my body work and paint, and I had wrecked it and gotten like my license suspended or something like that. And it was bad. He ended up like getting arrested and not letting me know. I kept trying to get a hold of his wife or whoever the fuck she was. She kept, you know, running me around and all this other shit. And then 3 years after that was all said and done, I was like, all right, he stole it, you know, whatever. Like, I was super pissed because I used my dad's, I used the money I got, my inheritance from my dad, because he passed away in 2001. And I used my inheritance to buy that car. So that was like that was my car. That was like my dad's car to me. And, you know, if he was alive when I bought that car, he certainly wouldn't have let me buy that car. That's for damn sure. He'd have been like, oh, hell no. But yeah, so it meant a lot to me, and I worked a lot on that car, and I had that car for college. I was going to college for automotive work and stuff like that because I wanted to work on cars. I was super into the tuner scene, the Fast and the Furious yeah. and all that shit.
Well, that was right around...
when they were good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. They're all right. They're okay. I still watch them.
They're still great to this yeah. day. Like, I know a lot of people talk shit on them and they're a little goofy sometimes, but I love those.
Yeah.
They are amazing.
Some weird stunts going on.
Hell yeah. But it's so much fun. So I was really into that tuner lifestyle. I had a buddy that I grew up with that, you know, he'd help. He had an old Ford Contour and he put a diesel turbo on his Ford Contour and like did all the pipes and piping himself and like all this other shit. Like the kid was a genius. That's a lot
of work.
You have no idea. He like balanced and blueprinted this whole engine by himself and was... Kid's a genius. I haven't talked to him for a minute, but he's still a very close friend of mine. I mean, that family was the family that I could just roll up the street and walk in. And
walk right
yeah,
the door.
And the parents are like, oh, God, okay, we've got to feed another one, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, we lived four houses away from each other, so it was just a walk. And up back then where I lived, there was only one way to get in and one way to get out. There wasn't all the houses and the schools and church up there now. But it's a good little spot. It was an awesome place to grow up and live. You know, you had the woods just right there and phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, throughout all that, I wouldn't be who I am today without the trials and tribulations of,
well, yeah, we all have,
you know.
Dude, I'm really worried about this next generation because they don't get to be dub kids, you know?
No, dude. All their stuff is like, already all over the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as it's done, it's already uploaded. Like, let's go. And it's like
my story's on the internet because I said it on this, and now it's and I put it on the internet.
Exactly. You know? This is now your choice.
Yeah. I had a buddy who had I think it was a 270Z, and I don't know if I want to say I was doing a lot of meth at this time, so the memory's a little foggy.
Mm.
But I don't think he put a turbo in it. I think he supercharged it.
Ooh, hell yeah.
And we were up in Page, and he had, like, the McDonald's drive-thru, like, you can, like, drive around the back and then come in the drive-thru. And he fucking whipped around that fucking drive, like, that whole fucking corner, dude, sideways. I about shit my pants, dude, and then just...
Yes.
Right up next to the fucking where you order. And
hell yeah. So he was good. He was good.
He knew what he was doing. You know?
Hell yeah.
I was about to shit my pants. Yeah, but, yeah.
Oh God, no. Oh.
Yeah. It was rough.
Hell yeah.
Scary.
But those are fun. So what made you want to do this?
The podcast?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just wanted to do it, dude. You know, like... Like, everybody, like, I go on Facebook or I go on Instagram and everybody's, like, arguing with each other and fighting and, like, I just want to have intimate conversations with people and to everybody listening, you know,
no.
Not everybody cares if you're Democrat or Republican, you know? You know,
no.
Like.
I certainly don't care.
Yeah, walk outside and talk to people, dude.
Yeah.
Don't argue all the time on Facebook.
And I know a lot of times people just. As soon as they hear that, they click off, and it's like, it's kind of annoying. Like, I don't pay enough attention to politics to really give a shit.
Yeah.
And either way, they talk a lot, and half of that stuff's bullshit anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
All they want is your fucking tax money so they can be more popular. That's how I feel about that. So, I don't really care about politics. would I like to get my gun rights back? Yes. And I think I'm going to work on that very hard this year.
Well, if you do, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say it on here, but I got some stuff.
Yeah. A little pew, pew. But yeah, I love, you know, that was one of my favorite things was like growing up. And my dad would always take me out shooting and stuff like that. And it was usually only me and him because my brothers didn't want to go. And... My sister, obviously,
yeah.
Never really liked him very much, but I was always into that stuff. I love doing it. That was, like, the whole reason I got into Boy Scouts when I was, like, growing up was because they went on, like, shooting trips and stuff, and I always had the fun stuff, so.
I never did the Boy Scouts, but my dad would take us out hunting, you know?
Yeah.
And that's something I've been trying to get back into. AZ Game and Fish can't fucking pull my they can't fucking give me a fucking, I can't get a,
like a tag?
I can't get a tag, yeah, dude. I've been put in 4 years in a row now and haven't been.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You haven't gotten any?
No. It's depressing.
That is depressing.
Yeah.
Well, once I get those, maybe I'll put in.
Yeah.
And then we can go on my tag.
But I really want to do that. So,
you got a pretty cool tattoo on your hand there.
Oh.
The all-seeing eye. And all of them. Got a rose. Did you?
So, I've done that one.
You did that one?
I did that one. And my buddy did this one.
He also okay, did, like, so that's on your left hand.
Yeah, that one's on my left and that one's on my right. Wanted him to do the one on my right. And that was done a while ago. Both of those are done by him. As well as, like, this one little section of my arm over here. Who I actually get to go out and see, finally. He lives in Cincinnati, so I grew up with him. And he tattoos. He's lived quite a few places. But his family is still back here, so he comes back pretty often. And I finally get to go see him. He just got himself a tattoo studio. He started it himself and did it after his little girl. And it's called Studio 220 in Cincinnati. And I get to go see him in May.
March, April. Nice.
Yeah, May.
Cincinnati, that's Ohio, right?
Oh, yeah.
I have some buddies in Ohio. Hey, really? Guys, if you want a tattoo, that's where you go.
Studio 220 in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Small fucking world.
Hell, yeah.
How long have you been doing tattoos?
Well, decent tattoos I've been doing for about 2 years. And that was only because I got sober. I mean, I've been doing shitty stuff on people for a long time.
Yeah, man, I'll tattoo that on you.
Yeah, well, my buddy had, I used to have this old, this is where it all stemmed from. I've wanted tattoos on myself since I was young, like way young. My buddy got one of those eBay kits or whatever the fuck. It was actually a pretty decent one. It was more decent than I'd seen. Still had the stupid shit in it and whatever. But he got it, and I had, at the time, an airbrush kit because I wanted to airbrush. So in my old house, I airbrushed, like, my bedroom door and, like, one of the walls because my mom said I could. And we ended up moving out of that because my mom couldn't afford it anymore. It was a little too big for us, and she's a hoarder. So there's that. But, so we foreclosed on that house, moved into somewhere else. Anyway, that's another story for another day. So I had this airbrush system. It had, like, the little tiny compressor and all that other stuff. It was badass. It was really cool. I got that for a birthday a while ago. And my buddy was like, hey, I'll trade you this whole tattoo set for, because we'd been giving each other tattoos. That's why I have a lamb chop with a dagger on the side of my leg that's, you know, carved in there. But we'd be giving each other tattoos and stuff for a little while and just practicing. And he was like, I'll trade you my tattoo set, like the whole thing, for your airbrush kit. And at the time, I was like, shit, I don't even use the airbrush kit very much. He's an awesome artist. Like, he really is a really good artist. He's the same kid who did the whole Ford Contour turbo thing. Okay. So he's an incredible artist. He went to Fala, so there's that.
I don't know what that is.
Follow Flagstaff Arts and Leadership Academy or something like that. It's
artsy
school and shit like that out by Cheshire. But yeah, so he was always really into art, and he was fucking awesome at it. Still is to this day. Smart kid. And I think he got the better end of the deal because this whole thing was only probably a couple $100. But with the other thing, it was probably a couple $100 over what he was giving me anyway. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do the damn deal and let's get this going, you know. So we trade, and then I do some nasty old crusty shit on somebody. But I was always looking at tattoo magazines. I've always been into watching tattoos on YouTube and trying to learn everything I can. And, you know, I'd kind of jump in a little bit and be like, oh, yeah, I love them. And that was always my answer, like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, well, a tattoo artist. I think that would be the best job ever. And this, that, and the other. And finally, once I got sober a couple years back, that's when I really started to full-on dive in, you know, both feet and just do everything I could. Buy the best of everything I could. and work on it. And so my buddy out in Cincinnati, he'd been doing it for a while. He's tatted. I mean, he's got face tats, he's got head tats, neck, whole body just slung down. I actually put one on him when he came out here. I think it was the time that he did my hand, and I let him, we were doing it out of his sister's house, and he was asthmatic when we were a kid. And so I put a little inhaler on him, and it said, "It ain't easy being wheezy," and it was crap. I look at it now, I think he might have got it covered up or something like that, but he gave me a chance, and he was getting taught by somebody, and now he wants to teach me and all this other stuff, so he wants me to move out to Cincinnati, and this is kind of where this trip is going. It's like a scouting type of thing to see if it would be anything worthwhile or if I would like it. And because, like I said, I've never lived outside of Flagstaff. I've visited a lot of places, or a decent amount of places, I guess, but my family was never a real big traveling family, so all the traveling I've done has been mostly sober, which is cool. Went and saw Wyoming just last year, and that was fucking incredible. Not for what we had to go up for, but it was awesome, and that was a great trip. Yeah. I'll do that again, but yeah, but that was... Just like your coffee cup says, don't quit your daydream. And that was my daydream.
Does it say that?
It does. Never,
I've probably, bam. We've probably had this thing for like 4 years and I've never read it.
Yes.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
You actually tattooed my little brother. I don't know if you know this.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you did before.
Where
you...
is that son of a bitch? Anyway, I got to finish that thing.
He's up in Page, probably at home right now.
Oh, good. You good. Know? Well, if he listens, I'd love to finish that. Campbell.
Yeah, I want to get some more tattoos. I got a lot going on right now.
Hey, that's all right.
And then, like, I don't know what I want. And, like, some of the things I do want, I probably shouldn't get on me, you know?
Hey. I say, hey, you know, YOLO.
Yeah.
As the kids used to say.
Yeah.
It changes every day now.
It does.
But yeah, I've never really had that. I mean, I've had so many people ask what a lot of my tattoos mean, and most of them have no meaning. They have a meaning now, but
yeah,
it was just like, okay, I see. That's cool. At the moment, that's cool. I'd like that on me. Sure. I mean, that's how I decided my first one was.
That's why I got this.
Yeah, but see, that's clean.
And that one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Tim at
Vail,
yeah.
Yeah.
He did both of mine.
Well, and I worked for them for a little bit for free. Shop bitch, if you will. I know a lot of people don't like to call it that, but...
You gotta put in your time, dude.
Exactly.
So is it safe to say you have aspirations to open your own tattoo shop?
Eventually. I think I'd like to get into a tattoo shop firsthand, just to see the business side of things, because... I'm a horrible businessman. I mean, I guess I'm good in some aspects, but when it comes to that, like, yes, I'm doing them out of my house, so there's not... It's a very clean, awesome place, and I've got, you know, professional equipment and all that other stuff, and I have a passion and a hunger for doing this, but it's hard to get into a shop, and yeah. you have to put in your paces, just like anything. I mean, one day, hey, if you like doing this, you're going to be in a studio with... the whole kit and caboodle, no microphone problems, and it's going to be beautiful.
One day.
See?
The hopes are we buy a house and I build a little shed outside.
There you go. You know? See? And then after that, it's going to blow up, and then you're going to be in a studio, so you have the house, the shed, and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and see, we're just renting this place, but that back room was just a perfect fit for doing what I wanted to do. It's just big enough. I mean, it's still tiny, and I still hit a bunch of things when I'm trying to move my chair, but I built all of that up and kept it going, and it was a hobby for a long time, so I wasn't, you know what I mean? I wanted to get a lot of tattoos out there, just get more people to come in, but it is kind of weird with, like, if I don't know you, you're coming into my house, like, that's kind of a weird little situation around my family, you know, and if I screw something up or you don't like it,
you know where you live.
They know where I live, and they could, you know, smash in windows or whatever, and it's like, we're just renting it, or they could hurt my brand new truck. you know.
Oh, it's a beautiful truck.
Thank you.
By the way.
Thank you.
Don't let my wife see it. She might hop in with you, you know.
We'll take you both on a ride.
Yeah, dude. We, God, I want a truck so bad. That's off topic, though. So, like, I'm kind of curious because I really have no idea. Are there, like, legality issues? Like, anybody over 18, you could just throw a tattoo on them if they want? I don't know how all that works. Do you have anybody sign, like, a disclosure agreement? Or
I do. If they are younger than 18, I'll have them. And luckily, I haven't been in that position yet. But, and if they do want one, and then I know their parents, because that's how it would... I've got a couple people that are like, oh, my girls want some, you know, tattoos or whatever, and they're, you know, 16, something like that. So it's like, hey, if you bring them, I'm not going to say anything, because they trust me already. I've already tattooed their moms or whatever, because I know their moms and shit like that. So there's definitely, obviously, some legality issues because of, you know, the county wants their money, essentially.
You got to pay taxes.
Yeah, you got to pay taxes on this shit. In which case, I don't.
I'm glad you're doing it for free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm providing a free service. And, yeah, I mean, it's clean. I could pass a lot of things. I've got my bloodborne pathogens accreditation. You know, I've taken that test. I can, you know, pass a lot of that stuff. But I don't have the licensing and the whatever, because they want their cut. The big man mafia wants their cut.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, some of the greatest tattoo artists in the world have started out of their house. And so they're not going to go looking for you and be like, oh, you know, it's not a meth house. It's like, okay, you're doing all right work on people. You're not
drawing dicks on little kids.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm not, I don't know if you've seen the movie King of Staten Island.
I have. Yeah. I was going to bring that up earlier.
Yes.
When you were like, I want to be a tattoo artist when I grow up.
Hell yes.
I love that movie.
That's a great movie. I just recently saw that, about a month ago or something like that. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Pete Davidson had me tearing up, I think, like two or three times.
Did you hear he's getting rid of all his tattoos?
Why?
I don't know. He's getting them all lasered.
Fucking loser.
Shit. Seriously.
Get a little bit of fame and he makes you look professional.
I mean, as long as he goes back in and like covers them up with something cool, like, hey, that'd be fine.
Yeah. I kind of like the randomness of some of his tattoos.
Exactly.
Like, you know.
That's the charm of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, oh, that looks cool. Put it on my fucking neck.
Yeah, know? Exactly. And that's always been kind of awesome, you know. It all tells a story, you know. It doesn't all have to be one story, because then you can never improve upon that. Like all these little, like, I think they call them like yard sales. Like you just go in and you pick something you like and you put it on, you know. I've got quite a few of those, and yeah, they all tell a different story. Do they have like deep meaning? Fact, no. A lot of people just put too much into it.
Yeah.
And then they get them and they start getting a little bit looser or whatever about them. But, and I do deeply respect the people that put in that time to be like, I want all of this to be very cohesive and like one big piece and plan it all out. And those are beautiful, beautiful tattoos. I just don't have the time or the pain tolerance. I have like two of them. One is probably never going to get finished because the guy who was doing it, he was a good friend of mine who was also teaching me. He passed away in 2006. Rest in peace, LD. But he, his I won't ever get finished. And that's also on my other side. So that shit hurts like nobody's business. So I'm kind of glad that I'm never going to finish it. But getting tattoos is definitely a young man's game. Get them while you're young. You can handle the pain.
Yeah, I don't even have any in like rough places. I mean, like towards the middle of the chest.
Yeah,
I could like feel it in the bottom of my chin and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's the fun shit when you're like, God, you're all the way down here, but I can feel it in the back of my head.
Yeah,
I don't even want to know what the back of my head feels like. Okay, yes, I do. But well, and I might go out there and out to Cincinnati and get my neck tattooed at a convention because my buddy wants to put it in like competitions and stuff like that. So I might do that for him.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. So that's another badass thing about like I mean, one of the cool things about the times we grow up in is, like, that shit's more accepted, dude. And, like, there's more incentive to come up and to, like, pursue, you know, your dreams. If you want to be a tattoo artist, like, there's an abundance of
knowledge
and conventions. And when I was younger, my dad was like, if you get a tattoo, better not get it anywhere where you can't see it if you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt, you know? Yeah. And which I think is dumb, dude. Why am I going to get something I can't show anybody?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I'm not really great to look at without a shirt, but there's a lot under there. There's a lot under there.
It's just like makeup for your titties.
You exactly. Next, I'm going to get an actual six-pack just tattooed on there, and then I can be as fat as I want, because I still got a six-pack. No, I'm just kidding. No, but they've been a super big outlet for me during all this, you know, COVID times and things like that.
Yeah.
But a really awesome, amazing outlet for me. And it's definitely a passion. Yvonne definitely gets real tired of all the YouTube channels that I follow. Because some of them are old man-ish, let's be real. I'll watch, like, lathing woodwork for, like, hours. Just because it's, like, fascinating.
I'll watch the sports channel, like, bass fishing.
Yeah.
And hunting and shit. And when I was a kid, I fucking hated it. And now I'm just like, yes.
Oh, yeah. You better get that.
Look at that 4 pound. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I follow this guy on YouTube, Detail Geek or whatever. The man details cars. He washes cars. But the actual show is, like, so fascinating to me. I don't know why. But it's, like, hilarious to see some of these cars. And I'm like, oh, my God. If he would have only seen a couple of my cars that I used to have, it would be on the nastiest list. Because there's some sick shit that's in there. He found one. This girl sold her pretty nice Pontiac G6. I mean, it's not the greatest car, but it was, like, this other chick's first car. She bought it off this other girl for, like, $400. Ran and drove beautifully. Like, when he cleaned it up, it was like a brand new fucking car. But he's, like, cleaning it out. There's, like, cigarette butts everywhere. There's panties in the back. There's syringes all over the place. Oh, I was like, holy shit. And he's like, this girl wanted something that she could be proud of. And, yeah, he ended up doing a really great job on it. But, yeah, shit like that is fascinating to me. Or the forging guys, like...
Oh, yeah, metal forging and shit. Making the knives and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All day. I've actually had a chance. I don't know if you watch Forged in Fire, but there's one of the contestants on there lives out here.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Storm Garrett. He was on, like, episode 8 or season 2, episode 8 or something like that. Great guy. He, in the competition, he didn't make it, but fucking gave it his all. And yeah. I've actually met him. I bought a knife off of him. I've actually bought a couple knives off of him. Super awesome dude. He lives out in Doney Park and fucking great dude. And he's actually given me, I was buying a chef's knife that he made and I was getting it for a close friend of mine. I've known the kid since he was born through his family. I was good friends with his uncle. And so I've known him since he was, you know, a baby, and he cuts my hair now. I've tattooed him. Crazy how life just kind of comes at you that way. I worked with him for a while, and I bought him a really nice knife from Storm, and Storm was like, you know what, don't you just want to, like, would you like to make one for him? So he was, like, totally going to teach me, and I was about to go that route, and I kind of wish I did. Yeah. I really do, because that shit is really incredibly awesome to me.
Yeah, and it's a dying art.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like,
everything's made in China on a fucking assembly line nowadays.
Exactly. And now, you know, you watch things like that. And I mean, I've been getting into knives a little bit recently, and they're fun to just learn about, you know, just the little things.
Yeah. I have a couple knives, nothing fancy, you know.
I think this is my fanciest one. It was my Spyderco, my everyday carry. And the thing I like about Spyderco is they say Golden Colorado, USA Earth, as in, like, doesn't matter where it's really made, but
yeah.
We're all on Earth.
Yeah. So. Like Elon Musk and his Tesla in space.
Yeah, exactly.
Made on Earth.
Made on Earth.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Fucking guy just blasts a fucking $150,000 car into space.
send her skyward, you know? Fuck yeah.
I wouldn't even blast a water bottle. I had to pay for them.
I know. Hey, now. That's a good $1.50. I don't want that going up. That's money I'm sending in space, never seen again.
I'm so fucking frugal sometimes, dude. I don't get it. Anyways, I love that you came and did this with me. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. I also love the fact that you did my cover photo.
Yes, for the
podcast.
I'm also the reason he's got that right now. Yeah, I hope people like it. I hope you like it.
I love it. I love it. It's a fucking alien-looking being with a halo and a fucking Bible and a bottle in his hand.
That's like, right. You gave me that, and I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. And that was incredible to draw with, or to do, actually. It was all done on an iPad, but so many things are these days. And it is absolutely incredible what you can do with that thing. Yeah. So,
I want to ask, too, do you have, like, maybe not. I'm sure with the tattoos, people are just like, hey, I want this, you know. But do you have, like, do you sketch? Do you have, like, a creative process that you go through?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't want, like, my sketches and stuff on their body, per se. But there's a lot of other outlets that you can do these days. Because I still, with some of those, I'm working on a lot of stuff. And, I mean, with computer and graphic design, you can just do so much.
Yeah.
So, I really like putting together a lot of these, you know, things and using... So, I use a lot of stamp brushes just to help out the process go a little faster because people are trying to get in. I only do tattoos like 3 days out of the week because I drive taxi the other four, you know, sometimes five.
Wow.
And that gets to be a lot. 12-hour shifts, you know, 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., all four of those days gets to be a little, quite a bit, you know, and dealing with the public.
I'm working the same schedule, man.
Homeless and things like that. And people that say they have money but don't. Anyway, so yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, and, you know, I can't really, like, get home. I'd like to, but I can't get home, get a tattoo started, you know, have somebody come in, like, oh, come over at 6, and let's get this going. Because I'd get in there, and I just get into this flow, and then, you know, before you know it, it'll be 11, 12 o'clock, they'll be walking out, and I've got to get up in 4 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And after that, you know, natural high like that, because I get into that, you know, focus and all that other stuff, and it does give me kind of a natural high, and I get, like, pumped on it, and I'm like, yes, for most of the tattoos that I do. So, the creative process, I mean, those nights, it is just dinner and just kind of hang out. I want to watch a show, and I'll just kind of doodle and use these different little brushes that have, they're all made by Tattoo Smart, which is, like, it's this awesome little iPad thing that you can buy, you know, brush sets from these really world-renowned artists and stuff, and you can use them as they are for things, or you can move little bits and pieces and make it your own. And that's what I try and do, is like get a basis of what's going to be there and use that. But it's helpful and it's really cool, and it gives you kind of some insight on different ways to go about stuff. So
yeah,
that's more or less where I go with that. But yeah, I'd love to be able to draw that well one day, and I know I need to try a little bit more. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I'd really, really like to get into. I mean, your brother's back. I did all that, I mean, with my own, that's like my own style of writing and stuff like that. So that one I was really proud of. I'd be even more proud if I could finish it, but I understand he's all the way up there and stuff like that, but
I don't think he's doing much these days. You probably should just text him.
Just be like, hey, you want to finish
Let's
that?
Let's finish that, some bitch. Yeah.
Let's put you through some pain here. But yeah, it's super fun, and I understand that, you know, shit happens, people get busy or whatever, so. But yeah, it's been an awesome journey, and I couldn't do it without being sober, you know. I know I wouldn't do as well if I was still using or drinking or anything else like that. And I'm glad you reached out to me to give you the alien and all that shit. So
yeah, you're, so
one day we'll get you tattooed.
Yeah, let's put one of your sketches on.
Let's do it.
I want to fully support your creativity.
Hell yeah.
I just can't I can't make a promise on when, you know?
Hey, that's all right.
I got baby on the way.
Hell yeah, congrats.
Thank you. I don't even know. Like, I'm holding it together really well. Kind of proud of myself. Like, the baby shower and the baby on the way and trying to buy a house and, like, saving this money and then making time to do this podcast and then, like, also finding time to, like, be supportive to her and help clean up around the house. I did 2 loads of laundry today.
Hey, that's more than I've ever done, so.
yeah, so it's difficult, but I do want a tattoo.
Hell yeah.
I want multiple tattoos.
Well, we'll get it figured out one of these days.
We will. We'll get in touch.
We'll make it a homecoming present. Or a homeowning present, I guess.
Yeah. My dad's going to buy me a grill, too. At least what he said. So
hold him to it.
Yeah, we'll get a good old dad. Brisket going. And
oh, yes. Yes.
You probably got the tip on some smoking meats, don't you?
Ish. I used to. I don't know if I've got them anymore. Oh, okay. I was drinking most of that time. So. But I could get them back.
Just throw it in the smoker. It's fine.
Just go ahead and toss it in there. Put some chips in there.
We'll get it tomorrow.
Put aspen bark on it. Like, well, I think that'll do something.
Well, right on, man. Where can we find you at?
So my Instagram is robglover121. I'm on Facebook, but I just shitpost on there.
That's what I use my Facebook for.
Yeah, Facebook isn't really something to get a hold of me or hold me accountable on anything. I just find the shit funny. I don't take offense to a lot of things, so I put a lot of offensive shit on there because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And that's, everyone's got to lighten up a little bit.
I think people take some of my shit too seriously. Too.
Yeah. And I think it's hilarious. You know, like it's all for fun. You know, we're all on the damn earth together.
Yeah.
Like,
let's make it easy. Stuck on this rock floating through space at thousands of miles an hour.
Exactly. So let's just be friends and I don't know. It's pretty easy. But yeah, Instagram's probably the best one. Check it out. Like some stuff. I love likes.
I do check out your stuff. Yeah.
Yes, you
every
do.
Every tattoo I think you've done in the last couple months I've looked at. I'm not good on liking, though.
So hey, that's like, all right.
I just forget to like stuff, you know? I don't.
And see, I'm the opposite. I'll just pass and like the little sponsored ads and shit. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, oh shit, I probably shouldn't have liked that.
Yeah, because now it's going to show you more.
Yeah. And then I'm like, fuck, I didn't want all of that. I thought that one was cool, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked a dildo one time. Now my feet's full of them.
Hey. Your feet or your holes? Less. Ew. But thank you for having me on the show, and this was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
Really awesome.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
It's beautiful.
It is greatness.
You're beautiful. Well, have a great day. Have a great life.
Hell yes.
I'll never see you again. No, I'm
just kidding. Oh my gosh. Holy hell.
No, I love you. I'm going to give you a big hug right now.
Hell yes.